Today on Seculo, fake apology, Whoopi Goldberg doubles down on Holocaust comments.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Controversy started over a series of books, which are graphic novels by a Holocaust survivor, the Mouse, a series, M-A-U-S, and it's somewhat controversial because there's some content there that's not appropriate for young children. Of course, when you're dealing with the Holocaust, it's tough to when you first start explaining that to young children anyways, but it's done in a graphic novel way, I think more for like teenagers, honestly, and it's just another way to learn, and it's about the horrors of the Holocaust. So that discussion came up on The View about the books being removed and, you know, parents being upset about books and should we be reviewing books. But then Whoopi Goldberg's, in all intents and purposes, I think if it was anyone else, their career would have already been over today.
Yes.
They would have been canceled. And if it was about any other group of people, 100%.
Yes.
If it was about trans people, black people, Asian people, anything else, gone.
Muslim.
Career over. But let's play it. Bite 9, Whoopi Goldberg on her show, The View. This is on Monday.
Well, also, if you're going to do this, then let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
No.
It's not about
maybe
race.
It's about a different race.
But it's not about race. It's not about
what
race.
What is it about?
Because it's about man's inhumanity to man.
So there you go. She clearly says three times the Holocaust is not about race. And she went on to say it was white on white violence or something like that.
Yeah, that's how it sort of wrapped up. And then when you watch them kind of clipped out, you're like, okay, maybe we're stretching here. And a lot of these people who are having commentary, maybe they're stretching the punch. Then she went on Stephen Colbert's show last night. Do we have that as well? She went on Stephen Colbert. I don't have the bite list in front of me, so you have to get the number for me. And doubled down, as you said. And this is a big problem, not just, like, I think the isolated issue isn't Whoopi Goldberg. It's actually how anti-Semitism is becoming very strong and rooted in Hollywood right now. And it's becoming a new popular hit thing to do. So let's take a listen to Whoopi Goldberg on Colbert. Not exactly conservative outlet on Colbert.
As the white guy in the conversation here, I am neither Jewish nor am I black, and so I have a different perspective all of this.
Yes.
It seems to me that whiteness is a construct created by colonial powers during the beginning of colonial imperialist era in order to exploit other people, and that they could apply it to all different kinds of people, that idea of race. And the American experience tends to be based on skin.
Yes. And so that is what race means to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about being a racist, I was saying you can't call this racism. This was evil.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't based on the skin. You couldn't tell who was Jewish. Mm-hmm. They had to delve deeply to figure it out.
What history books are you reading? They went into neighborhoods that were, guess what, Jewish neighborhoods, and destroyed their property, including my family's, our families, and then they put him in concentration camps. Benjamin Disraeli famously saves a Jewish Christian. He said he was Jewish by race, Christian by creed. Whoopi Goldberg does not know what she's talking about, but what Logan said is right. This is the new anti-Semitism. It's in Hollywood. It is everywhere. It's at the United Nations. It's at Amnesty International, as we're going to be talking about later in the broadcast. But if this was any other group, she would not get away with it.
Yeah, and it has become a really big issue. If you follow anyone on social media, you actually had, because it was International Holocaust Day just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
You had a lot of Jewish actors and producers and directors actually stand up and say, for the first time in a long time, hey, not only are we proud of our heritage, there's a issue going on that is steeped right now in the Hollywood left. And it has to do with anti-Semitism and by proxy anti-Israel. It's anti-Israel, so they can almost get away with being, an anti-Semitic in general. And we're going to talk about that. I'm going to even dive into some other celebrities who have commented. But we're also going to talk about this overall problem and take some calls on it. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls on this 1-800-684-3110. We're tying this in too. We'll talk about it later in the broadcast. An Amnesty International report. That's a human, well, it's supposed to be a human rights group, but it really has become a very anti-Israel group for the last decades. Now they've come out and said Israel, since its existence in 1948, even going back to 1947, before there was the Jewish state of Israel, has been an apartheid state, systematically, again, oppressing another group of people. And they even go so far to say that by calling Israel the Jewish state of Israel, that underscores that it is an apartheid state instead of a country of refuge for a people group that has been persecuted like no other group in the sense of systematic execution and extermination in modern time. Which I still think, you know, you could say 1948 is still modern time. We're not talking about 1800s. We're not talking about issues that our country dealt with like slavery. We're talking about 1940s. Okay? And so while that generation's starting to pass away, this was a modern systematic execution and extermination of a people group.
Yep.
And you've got groups still like Amnesty International calling the one country of refuge for that group an apartheid state.
Well, that and Whoopi Goldberg's
Jewish trope, confuses everything.
What she's doing adds fuel to that fire.
Yeah, one of the things that went around on International Holocaust Day just a few weeks ago was a image of Anne Frank, try to put you in perspective, saying Anne Frank would have been 7 years younger than Betty White, who just passed away. Right. So to try to put that more into perspective for people, because I think we are treating it like it was a long time ago. I'm actually going to get some, I'm going to send it to the guys here, some clips. One of my friends who's an actor, Christopher Daniel Barnes, he was Spider-Man, he was Prince Eric in The Little Mermaid. He actually kind of went on an Instagram post today, I'm going to clip from it, where he kind of did dramatic readings of Mein Kampf to go, you want to see it's about race?
Yeah.
Here's what's actually in the writings. We're going to get to that a little bit later. I'm just texting him to make sure we have the approval to do it, but I'm sure he will.
Definitely do that.
And it has become a big issue. People are calling in with comments, though.
Yeah, I want to say, but I got to say something here, because this is something I've studied a lot. And this idea that the Holocaust wasn't based on racial hatred targeting towards Jews and others. People that were different, that were interfering with the German bloodline. And like you said, read Mein Kampf for, 10 minutes and find out if it's about race or not. But here's the problem. Whoopi Goldberg is a Hollywood celebrity and thinks she can get away with it. And this is what she said. I want to play number 16.
Have you come to understand that the Nazis saw it as race? Well, because they might, like, asking the Nazis, they would say, yes, it's a racial issue.
Well, see, this is what's interesting to me, because the Nazis lied. It wasn't. They had issues with ethnicity, not with race, because most of the Nazis were white people, and most of the people they were attacking were white people. So to me, I'm thinking, how can you say it's about race if you are fighting each other?
How insulting this is. What a lack of understanding and knowledge this is. How those producers of The View allowed that to go and continue is absurd. Disgusting. And it's people like her that encourage anti-Semitism. And I want to see the left condemning this. The View is known as, you know, kind of left of center. Joy Behr thought this was okay?
No, she actually stated up. A lot of people have stood up for this and said it's ridiculous. You
know, they would cancel anybody else. Yeah, I'm not saying, I'm not saying doing that.
Yeah,
because I don't believe in this cancel culture nonsense.
Yeah, I believe that you should be able to, you know, they have a panel of people, they could have their minds.
But yeah, but it's also a private company. They could say, you know what?
They could do what they want.
We're not going to have Nazi propaganda, which is what she's putting forward, that is not only incorrect legally and historically, but my goodness, just read history. It was racial persecution against the Jewish people, which is both religion and race.
And to wrap this into modern day politics, this is why the squad pushed the same that Amnesty International, the idea that it's a apartheid state, that we are the Jewish state of Israel, just calling it that is wrong and bad, and that their solution, by the way, to how would Israel solve this problem, is to abolish Israel. Because they support what is called a right of return. That's anybody who claims to be Palestinian could then move to Israel, you know, immigrate on their own, you know, not go through a normal immigration process. And then the Jews, which are about 6 million of the 7 million population, there's about 1 million Arabs living there, who, by the way, are represented in the current government. The current government has an Arab party in it, but it would be no more Israel. It would be destroying Israel without bloodshed. By immigration alone, but it's that one state solution issue. This is, again, all plays into the modern day politics of the Democrat Party. That's where, and that's a scary thing that we have a major political party in our country is moving that direction.
Yeah, but Whoopi Goldberg basically said, if you're not this her race, then it's not racism. Okay, that's what she said. Because if this was anti-Muslim, anti-Arab hatred, and persecution, would you not say it was based on race also, that it's part of it is race? That's the misconnect here, which is unbelievable that she doubled down on. But Wes,
it is, you know, and you wish some of these Hollywood elites would simply stay with acting. You know, some of them are good actors. I mean, back in the day, Whoopi Goldberg was a good actress. Stay with that. Don't pontificate. Don't try to tell us what to believe. She is minimizing something, Jay, that shows not only her ignorance, it's dangerous ignorance.
You know, I want to go to Fan for a minute on this, too, because then when we're dealing with the UN on all this stuff, especially on the anti-Israel stuff, people need to understand, this Jewish hatred is deep. Fan?
Yeah, there were two main things that came to mind when this topic came up, Jay. First is how ignorant of his history. I mean, the Jewish state was literally formed for a people group that were targeted for extermination. And now 70 years later, that same people group is being labeled apartheid because they're occupying that safe haven. The ignorance there is just breathtaking. But Jay, the second thing that came to mind is the one you just mentioned. This is the reason that it's so important for us to be inside those chambers, the United Nations and all its subsidiaries, because I want to tell people this, Jay, and this might surprise some people. The view that Whoopi Goldberg expressed today and the view that some in the left in America are expressing today, Jay, it's not the minority view in those chambers. It is the majority view. And I will tell you, when the United States administration is silent on this issue, as they largely are now, Jay, we're one of the only voices in that chamber that stands up for the truth. It is not the majority view. It's the minority view. And it makes our presence in those chambers more important than ever.
You know, I mean, I want to go to the phones, and if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. I just want to make it clear, too. If I don't care, if you could be as famous as Whoopi Goldberg, If she had said this about Asian people, gays, trans people, I mean, the list can go on. Any other race group, she would not have a job today. I mean, probably some of her co-hosts, if they hadn't stepped in hard enough, they may not even have jobs. Maybe like second, because that's the culture we're living in right now, except for
Jews.
Yeah, there's actually.
And there's always been this exception for Jews because, they might be a successful group of people or they come back. And they instead, Israel is a prosperous country, all these different things. So that because they don't walk around saying they're oppressed all the time, protesting, that suddenly it's okay to attack them.
Yeah, and there are books that are coming out about this. There's a book came out last year called Jews Don't Count. I was reading some excerpts from it just over the last week. And one of them, it talks about sort of Hollywood and the modern left, and it even says there's a sacred circle that is drawn around those in progressive modern left that are prepared to go to battle, and it seems that the Jews aren't in it. Why? Well, there's a lot of answers. The basic one, underpinning all, is the Jews are the only objects of racism who are imagined by the racist as both low and high status. Jews are stereotyped in all the same ways that minorities are, as lying, thieving, dirty, vile, but also as moneyed, privileged, powerful, and secretly in control of the world. Jews are somehow both subhuman and humanity's secret masters. And if this racist mythology that's in the air when the left paws, but before putting Jews into their own sacred circle, because the people in the sacred circle are oppressed. But if you believe, even a little bit, that Jews are moneyed, privileged, powerful, and secretly in control of the world, you can't put them into the sacred circle of the oppressed. Well, in some ways say that they belong as they are the oppressors. So that is, again, that's an excerpt from a book that actually a very liberal filmmaker, Adam Goldberg, who is a director, not from the Goldbergs, Adam Goldberg, who would probably not love this show. He posted that because there are a lot of people who are seeing the hypocrisy that's going on.
Maybe
especially
he should listen to this show because maybe, and I'm glad he's taking the right view on this, maybe people need to understand what's going on here. Now, I want to say this as we're getting ready to close this segment out. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is insidious. So when we go after the AOCs, okay, and when we go after Ilhan Omar, there's a reason. They can say they're vile Jewish anti-Semitism and they think they can get away with it. And so does Whoopi Goldberg. And I'd like to know what the other people on The View are. They tweeting out anything in response?
We can find out.
We'll find out. All right. Getting ready to take a break. We'll take some calls. We get back and we're joined by one of our folks.
Yeah. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. As always, we encourage you to go to aclj.org. We've got a response up, too, on some other cases that are going on around the country. We should check that out, aclj.org. We're going to get into this apartheid issue. It all ties in. The fact that Amnesty International calls the one Jewish refuge in the world an apartheid state that needs to be destroyed. That's coming from a, quote, human rights group.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Secular. See your counsel with the ACLJ. Jeff Balaban is joining us as well in this segment to get deeper into what we were talking about, you know, with Whoopi Goldberg and then the Amnesty International report and all of these issues, kind of how they all play together and tie into even our modern politics, folks. I mean, the reason we're really talking about this on our radio broadcast is twofold. One, said about any other group, not just, by the way, racial groups, but other groups that identify as different ways that are in minority populations, you'd be canceled immediately. So the only group you can attack like this and still have a job is Jews. We all know that. Rashida Tlaib, ask her. Ask Ilhan Omar and her, you know, giant police protection that she gets because she makes comments like this. Ask AOC. The one reason we're talking about this is the modern Democrat Party is moving this direction.
And has adopted this.
Has adopting what used to be the outlier groups like Amnesty International. Yep. And people just say, okay, they're crazy.
Yep.
When they say this about Israel, that's become kind of the norm of the Democrat Party.
No, unfortunately it has. That's the political side of this, but there's a sociological side of this too. And before we get to Jeff, I wanted Wes Smith to talk. We talked about this during the break. It's a very interesting concept. This idea that Israel is a Jewish state, thus it's an apartheid state.
Yeah, somehow it's a Jewish state. They're exclusive. And I downloaded the executive summary of this Amnesty International report, and they have a real problem with the idea of a Jewish state, but they have no problem with the Islamic Republic of Iran or countries in the Middle East that are truly exclusive in the name of their own religion of Islam. And at the same time, Israel is the only democracy there. They have a free press. They have a judicial system, including a Supreme Court. They guarantee rights to everyone who's a citizen. And in the Israeli government now, they have Arabs in their Knesset, their parliament, and there is even an Arab on the prime minister's cabinet.
Right.
But none of that matters simply because it's a Jewish state.
So, Jeff, you've got a combination going on right now in the news. You've got Amnesty International that's put forward. There's a report which, you know, shows claims that Israel's an apartheid state. And then you got Whoopi Goldberg making the most direct anti-Semitic statement and then doubling down on it. First when I read it, you put it in context. You think she's talking maybe about the book and it's white on white, like the people banning the books were white and the people that wanted the books in were white. No, she was talking about the attack, the destruction, Jeff, of your family and mine by the Nazis was not based on race, religion. It was just a hate crime.
It's really unbelievable. You know, Jay, my mother had two sets of parents. The ones that gave birth to her, she didn't know existed until she was 60 when she found out that they had been killed and that the parents who raised her were her aunt and uncle who adopted her and never told her. And we have the papers from her adopted parents, who I thought were my grandparents. And literally we have papers when my grandfather was thrown out of university on the eve of becoming a doctor in Vienna. He was thrown out of the university. It literally says in paper, on account of his race, the notion that now this is being denied, that Jews aren't a race, which runs exactly coterminous with the idea that everything is about race and identity, is a way to eradicate the right for Jews to defend ourselves. I mean, even to say things if we criticize Ilhan Omar, for example, for having a tremendously powerful position and using it to go after Jews, her response is to say, well, I am a minority many different ways, and you are not. You, in fact, she has accused Jews of being white supremacists. It's so outrageous. And the thing is, I really don't know too many Jews who are saying, hey, please treat us like a victim group. Please give us some kind of, accord us any special relief. But we damn well, I'm sorry, do not want to be victimized again by being told, oh no, be quiet, sit down, you're actually the worst of the oppressor class. And that does, in fact, go along with the narrative that Amnesty is pushing. By the way, Jay, I don't even know if you know this, but my history with Amnesty goes back to my first job after my 1L year in law school. I worked at the Israeli Ministry of Justice. And one of my two tasks was to respond to an Amnesty report. Jay, this is 30-plus years ago.
Yep.
And later on, that was on my resume, and I was being interviewed by a partner at a major law firm who was on the Amnesty board. And he confided in me. It was stunning. He said, you know, I've been on the board for years, and every year a number of us, this is over 30 years ago, Jay, every year come to Amnesty and complain and say, you do good work everywhere else in the world. What's with this horrible obsession about Jews?
Mm. Which is, by the way, true, but it's also true. Logan, you had something you just wanted.
Yeah, well, one of my friends who is an actor, Christopher Daniel Barnes, you may know him from his many roles. He was Prince Eric in The Little Mermaid. He was Spider-Man in the animated series. Greg Brady in the Brady Bunch movies. A terrific writer, by the way. He writes incredible, very intense, very adult stories that deal with a lot of what's going on in culture. And he put out a video, and he texted it to me last night, and he also posted it online kind of to go against what Whoopi Goldberg was saying. And we played a lot of, well, it wasn't about race. Was it about race? And he did sort of a dramatic reading of some of the excerpts from Mein Kampf. And he sets it up a little because I don't want you to just think of him as, you know, a voice of Hitler.
No.
So take a listen. This is from Christopher Daniel Barnes.
From Mein Kampf. This is Hitler's treatise.
You'll hear him set it up and give him a follow because he does great stuff. So this is Christopher Daniel Barnes in a reading from Mein Kampf, Hitler's book.
As a person who grew up with Jewish family members and Jewish friends and in the Jewish community, and as a historian, that was shocking to me. I'm going to read some excerpts from the book Mein Kampf, written by Adolf Hitler, and let you decide on the issue. For those of you who are younger, I'd like you to put on your Lord Voldemort ears. What we must fight for is to safeguard the existence and reproduction of our race and our people, the sustenance of our children, and the purity of our blood. Page 214.
Let's keep going with another one, another segment. Let's go to bite number 33.
Blood mixture and the resultant drop in the racial level is the sole cause of the dying out of old cultures. For men do not perish as a result of lost wars, but by the loss of that force of resistance which is contained only in pure blood. Page 296. Here he stops at nothing, and in his vileness he becomes so gigantic that no one need be surprised if among our people the personification of the devil as the symbol of all evil assumes the living shape of the Jew.
So again, that is excerpts from Mein Kampf, read by a friend of ours, Christopher Daniel Barnes. Actor. Go to his website, ChristopherDanielBarnes.com.
I need to say this, and we'll hold Jeff over to the second half hour of the broadcast. I need to say this to our listening audience, okay? And Jeff, there's a lot of us on this set right now that can relate to this because four of us with Jeff and his family have had members of their family killed in the Holocaust. What Whoopi Goldberg did is disgusting. Horrific. It's a lack of intelligence as far as understanding history. It's a lack of decorum as far as offensiveness. It's a lack of understanding. And it's also, and I hesitate in saying this, but I'm going to say it, it's also a sense of entitlement in the sense that she knew she could get away with it because she's Whoopi Goldberg. And while they'll cancel a lot of people, they're not going to cancel her. And I'm not into the whole cancel thing. I'd like to see her co-workers have said something from that program, some of which are Jewish. But as Jews, Christians, and other people of goodwill, don't tolerate this. Argue back. Play the excerpts from Mein Kampf when someone says it wasn't about race. We're going to be back with more in the next half hour of the broadcast.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo, our second half hour of the broadcast. Kind of twofold issues that we're talking about, driven by the fact that, you know, we've got a major U.S. celebrity who takes this show, which, again, pretty liberal-leaning show that we wouldn't usually talk about in this broadcast, but she doubled down on the Holocaust not being about race and then went on Colbert and doubled down again. She ultimately did apologize. Now, this is – now, I mean, she had to for her career at a certain point because – and her apology was after twice doubling down on these statements, and it's really just a, I'm not going to talk about this anymore apology. Sorry that I offended people. You know, that's I'd say that's fine 20 years ago, but that's not allowed anymore in Hollywood. She's not being treated like everyone else. She should be canceled technically under their rules. I'm not a canceled person. I think it's ridiculous. People say stupid things sometimes. Shouldn't lose their whole career. People do stupid things. They shouldn't lose their whole career. But, you know, if they were honest about it, even though she's a black woman, she should be canceled too. But I don't know that they will go that route because I get because she is a black woman, because she's Whoopi Goldberg, and she thinks she's above, like you were saying, above this so that she can somehow speak to race differently than other people, but Jews are not.
Right.
And it's fine to accept an apology, and you read her statement, you do go, okay, but you had the chance twice to, you know, to correct it. You had Stephen Colbert, again, not exactly a friend to conservatives, saying, here, I'm going to give you the opportunity to clear the air. And even he was honest enough as a journalist and as an entertainer to go, okay, you're getting this wrong, and like tries to get her to just say it correctly and can't get her there. It's a shame. Obviously, she's a terrific talent and incredible actress with great work, but it is a very it's a very telling thing of what's happening in Hollywood right now beyond just Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg is the easy face right now of it because you see this as a. You know, she's making the rounds and it's become a big news story. But this has been happening in Hollywood
for a long time.
Honestly, a lot of it stems from Israel. A lot of it stems from anti-Semitism that has been caked in with it through decades because of people thinking, you know, who's in control and all of those statements and all of those things that sometimes are treated, like you said, almost like silly. It's not treated in the same sense that a lot of racism is treated.
But it's also then ingrained at the United Nations. And I think it's very important to set that forward as you're up there a lot. Jeff's up there a lot too. But I mean, this is an ingrained within the culture of the UN. That's why there are more attacks on Israel and more resolutions in Israel than any other country on the globe, on the planet.
And to me, Jay, that's why this apology is not enough. I think the apology, the words in the apology are actually pretty good. But the problem, Jay, this view is running rampant all around the world. And we already mentioned it earlier in the broadcast. It exists at levels of the U.S. government as well. But I really do think, Jay, that most Americans don't understand that when you get into the chambers that you and I have both been on in numerous occasions and listen to the countries that are involved at the United Nations, countries that are members of the Organization for the Islamic Cooperation, and when you listen to them debate on the floor, Jay, this is the kind of thing that they say. This is the kind of thing that they argue. And when it comes to censures against Israel, like you mentioned, more censures against Israel than all of the other countries of the world combined year after year after year, including North Korea, China, Cuba, all of the others. Jay, when they debate those censures, they pass them by an overwhelming majority because this view, the one that we're talking about today, they hold it as well.
Jeff, we've got less than a minute here for this segment. We'll hold you on the next segment, but I wanted you to get some words in here, and that is we've been fighting this at the ACLJ for 30 years. It is getting more entrenched, though. I mean, we've got a double that we've been fighting the BDS movement. We've done a good job there. But now you've got this new discrimination that's coming forward, and it's just blatant anti-Semitism.
Look, I couldn't agree more, and it's interesting when Stan just mentioned how we all know that more there are more resolutions against liberal, democratic, multicultural Israel than all these evil nations combined. And then guess what? It's no mistake that there are more hate crimes against Jews in America than all other minorities combined.
Also, we're going to take some calls. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. And check out the work of Christopher Daniel Barnes, who provided those clips for us. Check out his work. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls too, 1-800-684-3110. People are too. They get, I think that there is some confusion out there about this, because one of the groups that really came out vocally and it is quoted in her apology is the Anti-Defamation League. But we have a call coming in from Kevin in Texas, because even their definition doesn't really include what would be anti-Semitism. Let's go to line six, Kevin from Texas. Welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you. I saw this the other day on Twitter, and they changed the definition of what racism is. I checked online to double check, but it says racism, the marginalization and or oppression of a people of color based on a socially constructed racial hierarchy that privileges white people. So if I'm white, or if you're another minority or another race, you can't be racist. If you think that white people have certain characteristics, or you think you're superior to white people,
I think that definition, the problem with that definition is it would underscore what Whoopi Goldberg was arguing. But yet that same organization, this is why they need to go back and look at how they define things. It's not all about color of skin. Like, I agree with Stephen Colbert, that may be the American experience. We see black and white. That's not European experience. That's not most of the world experience. That's not Africa's experience. In Africa, there were different countries enslaving each other. And I mean, you would, again, there was oppression of people
what
groups.
Now the United Kingdom is, how that was, yeah, you know, separated.
But so the Anti-Defamation League, though, said, quote, the Holocaust, in response to Whoopi Goldberg, was about the Nazis' systematic annihilation of the Jewish people, who they deemed to be an inferior race.
Right.
I don't know why their definition on their website doesn't fully include that.
I'll tell you why.
They're Jewish organization.
Yeah, they bought into the, I'll go to Jeff on this, they I hate to say this, I think they may have bought into some of the UN language on definition. I'll let Dan comment on that too.
Yeah, look, this is Jeff here, and yes, the ADL is, I'm going to say it very bluntly for people who work on this directly, the ADL is part of the problem, not part of the solution. And actually, my take on Whoopi is not that she should be canceled, because I think Whoopi is actually inadvertently is innocent in this. She just doesn't know better, because she's been hearing this narrative from groups like the ADL. You may not be aware of this, but the ADL leader, who comes out not out of fighting anti-Semitism, but he is a political operative. That was his role before he took over. And he's a very, very profoundly partisan political operative. He has been redefining their mission steadily. And he has said on multiple occasions that Jews have white privilege. He pushes this agenda. Okay,
part of the problem is, I mean, in his statement that they're quoting, he's right when he says it was race, because it was clear. We played excerpts of Mein Kampf. It was clearly racially motivated, but yet their definition, by the ADL's own definition, they bought the UN definition of this ban. That's the problem.
Yeah, whether you're talking about ADL or the United Nations or Amnesty International, there is a narrative, Jay. There is an agenda that is decided upon first, and then they try to fit all their other arguments, regardless of history, into that narrative and that agenda. And let me just bring it back domestically, Jay, because the most important voice on this issue in those international bodies is the U.S. administration. The White House has the foreign affairs authority in this space. They're the ones that engage diplomatically with Israel. I mean, Jay, think back to the last administration. We had the Abraham Accord. So, you know, on the diplomatic relations with Israel, there was strength there. But when the United States goes silent at the United Nations and these international bodies, then these things actually start to move and get traction. And when a censure goes to the Security Council, Jay, we saw this. I mean, at the end of the Obama administration, when they decided not to veto, those things start passing the Security Council. So, you know, the problem might fester internationally. But, Jay, when the U.S. administration is silent, that's when it really starts to explode.
You're right, exactly right, Wes. Yeah,
you know, and the bias is so obvious at the United Nations and at other organizations like Amnesty International. Amnesty International, my takeaway from their document is that it's a 280-page report that denies the right of Israel to exist. That's the bottom line from it. And they are really...
Which is the ultimate anti-Semitism.
The same philosophy as Hamas and Iran. This report actually quotes the lies and propaganda of terrorist organizations.
But Jordan, you said this is now embedded politically in the left.
Yeah, I think that's the issue, is that the left has made this all about, it's almost to be in the new left. I don't say, it's not the majority of the Democrat Party yet, but it's certainly where it's moving. When people quote as progressives now, they adopt the boycott, divestment, sanctions. They adopt the Amnesty International approach that Israel is an apartheid state. And the idea that it's called a Jewish state alone, that somehow self-identifies it immediately as a apartheid state, even though it's a state and a country of refuge, that still, for the Arabs that live there, they vote, they participate in life, they are in the current government
right.
for the first time. Not because they were excluded, by the way. They didn't want to be in the government because they said, we don't want to be this Jewish government. But now they've actually said, you know what, we should be benefiting from this. So in towns like Nazareth and other places that are predominantly Arab, some Muslim, some Christian mixed in, they say, we want to be represented. We'll join the coalition.
Right.
So, I mean, in fact, Israel is moving in a direction showing that you can still have this refuge for Jewish people, but the other people who live there will still be treated equally and fairly and can be part of the government. I think that always is the first line test. If you can be, and they always were represented in the government. They were always in the Knesset. But if you can be part of the governing power,
yep.
then you are not an oppressed people group. That doesn't mean that there's not issues. Everybody's got issues. I mean, you can't say that because Barack Obama's president, there's no race issues in America. But it does mean that you've gotten to a different level, and you can start handling it at a different level as well.
Let me play from Dr. Agnes Callamard, the Secretary General of Amnesty International. This was a speech just today, I guess. That we got a piece of them. We have Jeff and Than respond to this. Take a listen.
Amnesty International is here today to call on the authorities of Israel to put an end to the system of apartheid it is maintaining against all Palestinians living under their effective control, whether in Israel itself, in the OPT, or as refugees in other countries.
You know, the lack of history understanding here, Jeff, is breathtaking. This is from the Secretary General of Amnesty International. Israel was a refugee state for the Jewish people because of the Nazi Holocaust, which, you know, Whoopi Goldberg doesn't think is racism against Jews. And the lack of understanding of the only liberal democracy, as you said, Jeff, in the Middle East is Israel.
Listen, there. Arabs, Muslim Arabs, Christian Arabs, have far more rights, not just in theory, but in practice, in Israel, than anywhere in the Arab world. I'm not talking about the Jews. I'm saying the Arabs have more rights in Israel, and that's abundantly clear. I was thinking, listening to the Mein Kampf excerpts, that's kind of like what this amnesty report sounds like. It's just a series of justifications for Jew hatred. That's all it is. There's no substance to it. It is complete reversal of reality. And it's used as a way to oppress, and more than oppress, make Jews no longer people. Right? The Amnesty isn't saying really that Jews are oppressive. Amnesty is saying, or Israel is oppressive, that Israel has no right to exist.
Right.
That Israel is founded as a crime.
But the notion we're dealing with that, Than, every day at the United Nations. Every day.
Every day at the United Nations. That's the majority view there, Jay. I mean, the fact that Israel has Jewish people living in a safe land, homeland, to them, that is the original sin. And Jay, just to bring it back home one more time, I want to underscore something that Jordan said a moment ago, because he's absolutely correct. In Washington, D.C., a majority of the left would voice support for Israel, and they would say that it's a minority view inside the Democrat caucus that feels this way. But Jay, that's not good enough, because Democrat leadership still chooses, and let me say that word again, they choose to put Ilhan Omar's views on this onto the Committee of Jurisdiction. So they choose to put forward her views on this on the committee that makes these decisions for the United States Congress. It's not good enough to say it's a fringe view if you're putting it forward.
And yet so much progress has been made in the Middle East between Arabs and Jews. I thought it was so interesting that as this report was issued, the president of Israel was doing an official state visit to the United Arab Emirates.
Yep.
While this is going on,
yep.
You look at the Abraham Accords. The UAE now has asked Israel if they can please buy their anti-missile system because they're being attacked by Iran-based Houthi rebels. So there's a lot of cooperation,
yep.
And anti-Semitism seems to be going away among some Arabs, but it's not at the United Nations.
Unreal.
No, they ignore all of that. They ignore the Abraham Accord. Because this is we've talked about this with Rick Renell. We talked about it with Mike Pompeo. The Abraham Accords said, you know what, the Palestinians, you support terrorist groups and autocratic, just dysfunctional governments. So you know what, we're not going to just say we have to solve your problem to deal with other countries. And guess what those other countries said? Yeah, we'll work with Israel directly. We don't have to solve, because the Palestinians put Hamas in charge. Yep. You should be punished for that. You put terrorist groups in charge of your territory and you don't fight back against them, which they don't, then you get punished for putting terrorists in charge. You'll let autocrats steal every dime that comes in on the West Bank and when they're 85 years old and could be easily toppled, and you don't do anything about it, so you're part of the corruption, you get punished. And the Abraham Accords was part of that punishment. It was saying the Arab world moving past the Palestinians, saying, you know what? This they've got problems of their own they got to deal with. We can't do it for them.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Darlene's call from Rhode Island on line one. Hey, Darlene, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am just so saddened listening to all of this, because we should be learning from what happened through the world wars that people died, the people that were marginalized and sacrificed for wrong ideology. And one of the things that I think saddens me the most is, as Americans, we haven't learned the horrors of this. But also as a Christian, as a believer, we have allowed our language to be hijacked, and we don't understand that we are one race. We are human beings made in the image of God. And the ethnic groups that he has put on this earth need to be respected, need to be understood a little bit, and not destroyed, not persecuted, and not murdered. And that is what these discussions by the elites or whoever being allowed to go like this, the poison that they're trying to regenerate and spread, is detrimental to all of us, but especially to God's imprint on the human race. And the black people, the orange people, the yellow people, the Jews, they are our brothers and sisters, because we are all made in the image of God. And until we have that mindset,
this is the idea of basic tenet of Christianity. It's been a basic tenet also of our country moving through the civil rights movement. And what the world has tried to aspire to, in a sense, but it never is quite able to get there. And you know, humans are not perfect. It will never be perfect. But it just seems like, in a world where we're at the most sensitive to all of these issues,
they always
pick a group who you can still poo-poo. You could still blame. You could still
make out to be
the enemy. And right now, that group, if you're Amnesty International, Jews. If you are Whoopi Goldberg, it's, oh, that's not real racism. Only black people experience that. Well, that's not true either, and it's based off only skin tone. But which, by the way, if you would have gone back to Nazi Germany in that time period, you would have easily been able to identify Jews, for the most part. Some people may, but for the most part, by their last name, by their skin tone, by their hair tone, the hair color,
exactly,
by the way they spoke,
dialect,
and of course the religious clothing they may wear, which some did wear, that would have identified them as part of this group. So
they didn't have to go into hiding because they weren't identifiable.
Right.
I mean,
no, that's a very good point.
And their last names. Right.
Right. There was not they were roaming the streets, and hopefully, no, it wasn't like that. I mean, obviously we all know the story.
How did Whoopi Goldberg, not to belabor this, but how did she not know this? How could you be that tone deaf on history?
I think people brought up, there's been a lot of change in the last few years in the way that things have been positioned in terms of
the rewriting of history.
Of history, whether that is through all lenses of the specter for the Holocaust. And it's very odd. It's an odd time, I think, for a lot of people, because it's easily conflated. Where is the line? I think the anti-Israel bias has started to bleed so significantly, because it really is the same, into
anti-Jewish,
anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism have started to graft, and not that they weren't already intrinsically linked, but now it's like it's given you favor to do it.
They tried to draw the separation between, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-Israel. That's what they would say, or anti-Zionist. The problem is now all of that fake construct, Wes, is falling apart.
Absolutely.
And Amnesty International just laid it out on a silver platter.
They absolutely did. I mean, their bias is so obvious. Even if you took an unbiased look, for example, at the state of Israel, freedom, democracy, equal rights under the law, human rights, all of that, but their anti-Semitic views smother that truth and smothers those values, because they're not only anti-Israel, they're anti-Jewish.
Yeah, let's actually play. We have another clip. Again, this is from an actor friend of ours, Christopher Daniel Barnes. He's an author, a great actor,
historian,
a brilliant guy. You should read his, definitely for adults, but you should read his short stories on his website, Christopher Daniel Barnes. I think our audience would really enjoy is the wrong word, but you'd be captivated by the stories he's telling. It certainly relates to a lot of the topics that we bring up. He decided this morning, last night, to do some sort of dramatic readings to kind of show what were the Nazis saying? What was Hitler saying? So some dramatic readings from Mein Kampf. This is one we didn't play, and actually shows how it ties in a little bit to America, something that I know that played into, again, what was considered white, how we all could say, like, how's that tied in? This is a bit from Christopher Daniel Barnes reading Mein Kampf, Hitler's book.
Blood, sin, and desecration of the race are the original sin in this world. Page 249. The deepest and ultimate reason for the decline of the Old Reich lay in its failure to recognize the racial problem and its importance for the historical development of peoples. Page 283. The Germanic inhabitant of the American continent, who has remained racially pure and unmixed, rose to be master of the continent. He will remain the master as long as he does not fall a victim to defilement of the blood. Page 286.
Whoopi Goldberg needs to listen to all this. And you know what's so interesting? Colbert was trying to bail her out, and she tripled down on this whole thing. That's what is so mind-boggling. Let's take another phone call, Jordan.
Yeah, Cliff in California, online too. Hey, Cliff, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
All right. Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen. I am actually very pleased to see that Whoopi is getting all this publicity, and I don't want to see her kicked off her show because here she is putting out in plain language the left's agenda, the left point of view.
Yep.
And furthermore, in her comments about racism, she is redefining the word, which is another leftist tactic, very common, and she's putting it out there for everybody to see. So I would like to see her continue to have a platform and to continue to raise public awareness. Actually, she's helping us on the right. She's helping conservatives.
You know, the interesting thing, though, Cliff, I've got to say this is, and I understand. I'm not saying cancel. I'm not into the cancel culture. I don't like cancel culture. I don't like that kind of censorship. But I got to say something here. It's really offensive what she said. But you know what's equally offensive? The lack of people on the left coming out and condemning this, Than.
Yeah, I'm okay with Cliff's view on Whoopi Goldberg, but here's what I don't want, Jay. I don't want this to be the position of the United States government. And when there's silence from the White House, you have to wonder. And look, if you are electing someone who's not willing to speak out against when this happens, Jay, that person shouldn't be elected anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, an Anna Navarro, who I don't like at all. She claims to be Republican. She's not. She's fake. She's not even a rhino. Total fake. She's the conservative on there, which is like, I mean, I don't even know if you can find, she's like a liberal, to be honest, but this is what she had to say by 36.
When you, for example, look at a government form, a U.S. Census form, and it asks you for race information, Jewish does not appear on there. And so I do think that what Jonathan is saying is exactly right. We are putting our 21st century eyes on it.
That's what we've been talking about, and that's what the caller's talking about. They're redefining racism.
Yes, because it's not on a U.S. form.
Because this group is too successful.
Yes.
Which is the common trope against Jews by Hitler, right, and by Nazis and by anti-Semites. And
yes.
It's they're too successful. So, yeah, we can't really treat them like other marginalized groups.
All right, that's going to do it for Seculo today. Make sure you check out the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And again, thanks to our friend Christopher Daniel Barnes. Go check out his website, ChristopherDanielBarnes.com. Talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.